Church. For those of you that are guests, welcome. We're happy that you're here today. And I'm going to proclaim Jesus Christ, and I'm going to proclaim His Father and the Holy Spirit, for God has always been a relationship of love, and He shares that with us in His own initiative. There's nothing we have to do to make that happen. God is so gracious and good. He draws us to Himself. So I'm going to preach a message today entitled Celebrating God's Songs, Word, Work, and Return. Now, just so you're clear kind of where we're at and where we're headed, we're in 3.5 years of proclaiming the entire Scriptures. We started in Genesis, and at the end of 3.5 years, we'll end up in Revelation, so we're preaching everything in between Genesis and Revelation. So over on the wall there, we have these poster boards up everywhere. We are in the book of Psalms right now, and actually we won't be going through all those. That'd be 150 weeks. We would never be able to get through the Scriptures in 3.5 years. So what I'm doing is picking out a few of the Psalms that represent all the Psalms. So today I'm covering basically the Psalms. So because the Gospel revealed in Jesus reveals that God meets us exactly where we live, exactly like we live in our ordinary, mundane existence, I think of the questions I'm going to ask you right now, you'll find very pertinent. The questions I ask, and so I'm sure you can identify. How do you survive in this current chaos in which we live? Now, I'm not pointing to any circumstances like Richard. I'm old enough now, I'm 50, to know I know you're in some chaos. I know you've experienced and tasted chaos and sense it and know it in this world. How do you live in this world with all this confusion and division with hope? How does an authentic disciple of Jesus navigate the way we have to go out into our jobs and into these schools and into this system of the government of where we live? How do you face the difficulty of the loss of relationships? I'm always, that's the one of the worst parts of my job, and also one of the best parts, but one of the worst parts is anticipating who's going to die next, because it's just going to happen. In ministry, every year, I can pretty much always expect, usually at wintertime, someone at least is going to die. I have some years, thankfully, where none do, and I'm grateful for that. But more often than that, not at least one person died. But we've had 3 sisters we've lost here this year so far. I say it's one of the best things because I see that when you preach at funerals, boy, do I never see the hope so high than when we preach at funerals and are really forced in that instance to look beyond any human answers. You know that if we're going to live, like really live, Jesus is going to have to resurrect us. He's going to have to return. And, of course, the proclamation of the gospel is Jesus is coming again. But how does the church, how do we really bond together in a church? You know, there's all kinds of programs and methods you could look at and people have used, but how do you really bond together? How do you suffer persecution for the name of Jesus or go suffer persecution anyway? Because whether you believe in Jesus or not, in this world you do suffer persecution. It just might be from a bully. Even if you don't know Jesus Christ and you're an atheist, a bully might hate you. So I know these are pertinent questions. I don't want to just remain all negative because there's some other exciting things, like maybe you got a great report card if you're a young person. How do you receive an exciting grade card or report card? How do you escape? Sometimes we're able to escape. We do various things, but what is a supreme way to escape some of the troubles and the stress that we find ourselves in? And what is one of the ways that even fulfilled lovers show their excitement and happiness? And no, I don't mean that they smoke. I don't know if you're awake or not. It sounds like you're not. But fulfilled and happy lovers don't always smoke. But there is something else that does happen, and this is my point. I'm just trying to touch you on all the aspects of life in which we might find joy and in which we might find heartache. And the question is, how do we survive all of this for real? Well, I just want to say that today is going to point to one of the things that all of these people and do in these situations. And one of the things that we can do, and one of the things Jesus Christ did, was in Matthew chapter 26. So if you have your Bible, I didn't put it up on the slide today, so you'll either just have to listen, which is okay. The Bible was meant to be heard. Or if you have a scriptures with you, you can turn to Matthew 26. And let's go to verse 25 to get some context here. So Jesus is with his disciples. This is what's called the Last Supper. Verse 25, then Judas, the one who would betray Jesus, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi," because he just asked who is the Lord, and the Lord basically said, "It's you who dipping your hand in the food the same time I am." He said, "Surely you don't mean me." And Jesus answered, "You have said so, so it is you," basically. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." He really means for all, for the forgiveness of sins. "I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And then verse 30 hits where we're at today. When they, Jesus and his disciples, had sung a psalm, or sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm just astounded by the fact that what we're seeing here in Jesus, as you give us grace to see it, is that you, God, Father, Son, and Spirit, you sing. It isn't something we just made up. It's not just something that comes out of the mind of flesh. But you sing, and therefore we sing. Thank you for the Psalms, for you gave us a whole lot of songs to sing, a whole lot of lyrics to pay attention to, because they flow from you as your very own word. Would you give us insight today on who Jesus is as we look through the Psalms and who we are in him, and what of Psalms has to say to us about who you are and your character and work, and even your impact upon our life and how we might participate in it and find joy and strength in the chaos and the division and even in the good little things that happen. We're dependent upon you to speak and help us today. We need you to not only do this speaking today, Father, but please hear for us. Even our ears have been affected by sin such that we don't always hear the way we ought to. So we ask for a demonstration of the Spirit today that despite my weakness, despite my inability to properly convey to the congregation who you are, that you will yet speak and make yourself known because you love us and choose to encounter us through the proclamation and through the reading of your word. In Jesus' name we pray and give you thanks. Amen. So one of the things that you can do, one of the things that God in flesh did to deal with the division, the confusion, the mess of this world, even the celebrations, was he sang. So today, you can almost get direction from that already, that one of the good things is what Earth, Wind, and Fire told us to do. They said, sing a song, sing it, sing. I should have brought it instead of trying to do it. But I think everybody in here has heard that, and that song is kind of trying to make the same point. But I want to say to you that God, Father, Son, and Spirit, he sings. And it has a way of bringing hope to others. In fact, I didn't look that scripture up. I think it's in Zechariah or something. But it says, God sings over us. He even inspired one of his prophets to write that one of the ways that God encourages you tangibly is he places songs near you that you can sing and hear that can bathe you in his encouragement or strengthen you in a time of struggle or identify with you. I was reading Psalms 88 this week, and Psalms 88 has no resolve in it. It's just a person that's continuing to cry out. Now, the good thing about it, what's different about that song than the songs we often sing, I see that a lot of people sing songs that we identify with. In fact, that's why I believe many times we listen to songs on the radio more than we read scripture and read Jesus' songs and sing them. But the big difference is, the weakness of those songs is they are not crying out to Jesus and to God and the Father and the Holy Spirit about their problems. They're just saying, I'm sick and I'm hurting and I'm confused here. I need 911. I'm ready to kill myself. I'm depressed. I'm suicidal. They leave you without hope, for they don't turn you to the only one who can give you hope, either as the person they're praying to, or neither do they turn to him as the cure. So that's the difference between the songs of this world and the songs that God sings over us or allows us to sing. But because God the Father sings, look at where he's singing in this passage we just read. Where is he singing? Is he singing way above us and apart from us? Or is he really Jesus? Is Jesus really God in the flesh? And so therefore we see that God sings the way we sing, and right in the middle of the same situations we find ourselves in. He's singing right here after he just talked and called out one of his disciples as a betrayer. And what he does, as he knows he's got to face what the result of that betrayal is going to be, is he gathers his disciples together and they sing a song. See, that's profound. Don't let that slip by you. Don't let the Psalms just slip by you in the scripture and always be reading everything other than. So it's not only God singing, but what we see in Jesus is God and man in one person, so that what God is telling us that man and woman should really be about sometimes as they face the things in this life is they ought to be about some singing. Now, I didn't say singing on tune. Now, this is important because he does not say, it's not Mark that they sing on tune. And a lot of times we'll find ourselves hesitant to do a little singing, even though that seems to what pops up and is the most appropriate in the moment, because we're used to subjecting ourselves to a standard that man thinks that it needs to have a certain tune. We hesitate to sing. But I'm telling you, God, Father, Son, and Spirit sings, and he sings right where we're at. Even with our poor vocal cords, he sings right there. So I hope that today, it just seems like the Lord is leading us today about songs. It's interesting that we learned some new songs today, and Sierra's talking about that. And then Richard, even in his offering there, he focuses on a song. I tell you, this is what God's trying to talk to us about today, directly. He sings, and he sings inside of our humanity. So it's important for us to sing. It's meaningful. It has meaning. And what I love here, it doesn't state which psalms he sang. Now, I love that, because we might think that worship is only singing a particular type of song. Some people can't worship unless it's a particular type of song with a particular type of beat, particular type of accompaniment. We don't see any of that. In fact, it's most likely, I'd say, that didn't have any instruments around. It seems to be a time of just him and his disciples. But I don't know that, so I don't want to hold that as true. But what I'm trying to say is worship and singing ultimately isn't about holding up to a certain standard of what the music should sound like. It primarily is focused on, worship really is, sharing in Jesus' communion with his Father in the Holy Spirit. That's what worship is. And so this means this, if you've read the Psalms, you know that there's some songs that are just awesome from beginning to end in an enthusiastic way. Praise the Lord, all ye people. Praise him with a loud voice, with the trumpet, and so forth. But then you find other songs that, oh, Lord, where are you? You're not showing up. I've been praying to you all day. When will you not stop hiding your face and show up for me? Or in Psalm 88, where are you, God? Everything's just a disaster. I'm depressed, and I'm still receiving nothing from you. And at the end of that psalm, there's no resolve. So that teaches us already, and very instructive on what worship is and isn't. Worship isn't a particular type of song. If you can't worship because the music doesn't sound the way you like it to, because you'd have a particular bent out of your particular style, and you can't worship, you don't understand what worship is. Because worship is, again, the Son's communion with his Father in the Holy Spirit. That can happen down, which the Psalms prove. When they're down in the dirt and don't really have a song to sing, they sing a song of mourning. Y'all remember that back in the old day? I said it before. We sang the song about being in Babylon and by the trees with our head cast down. Y'all know what I'm talking about. In this church, at least anyway, that's kind of a private joke for you visitors. We used to sing some older songs. But man sings, and he sings in the mundane, ordinary life in which we find ourselves. There's where God sang, and there's where we can sing. And it's not about on tune, and it's not about which type of song that it is. What's important is that it's God's song we sing. In fact, we know that God has to sing, even if we had not seen it in Jesus Christ. We know that God sings because it's revealed to us that when God made everything, the angels sang and shouted for joy at what God... See, so angels were here before us, and from what we understand, and they were singing. So this is just something that comes out of God and seems to be shared with all creation. So I just want to say to you that one of the main things you can do in your situation, no matter what it is sing a song. Maybe that's one you maybe even overlooked. Even if you sing out of tune, hey, maybe you do go to your basement inside your house where nobody can hear, but you open up these scriptures and you go to Psalm and you just start going to town. See, I love it that he hasn't preserved the type of music to which they sung their psalm. You notice that? See, this is funny because I find in our day this is the stuff we get caught up in. If it doesn't sound a certain way or it's not on tune, we can't sing. I believe so many people are shut down and we don't have that kind of freedom. I appreciated the song we sung today, the freedom. Now look, freedom means you have real freedom. You don't have to dance. Today might not be a dance day for you. So therefore, don't dance just to be a part of the crowd. There's no standard in that way. Again, the Psalms cover the breath. Today might be a day for you might have to just listen to us sing a happy song. And we might just have to listen to you sing a sad song. Because I talk to you each week, and I know some of you got some sad songs. I'm like Richard. I was singing a sad song this morning. I was happy last night. I woke up. I was feeling sick as a dog. I've been singing a sad song all morning. I told Donna, man, I was like, I'm one thing I'm convinced of. I think as I get older, I'm in my 50s too. Just to, let's see, what was I going to say there about a sad song? Well, forget that. I must have went through it. Look, I'm 50 and I can't even remember. This is one of my sad songs. What happened so quickly? I'm only 50, but man, I'm learning how old that is. My goodness. Anyway, moving on here. God sings, man sings, and angels sing. So church, sing. Let's keep singing as a church. That's one thing I admire about you all. I've always been in a church that sang, but it's something about your singing here that also attracted me to want to come here. I remember when I visited, I loved the way y'all sung. It seemed like it had bonded you all together, and man, it was something special. So let's keep singing together. But I think the next question kind of helps us still hone down into what's really and true and proper about our singing, and that is, and what did Jesus sing? And what did Jesus sing? I've kind of hit it at. So right now I'm saying that God's saying sing. But then we see God revealed most directly in Jesus. And what did Jesus sing as he was headed into the troubles of his life? Really, the height of suffering in his life. We see that he sang a psalm. So now I'm kind of directing you even more clearly where to go and what songs we should actually be singing, because he is giving us instruction here. What did Jesus sing? He sang the Psalms. Now, historians say it's most likely he sung either Psalm 115, 116, 117, or 118. So you can look at those on your own. But basically, he said that because he just did the Passover ceremony, and they always had within the Jewish faith of singing Psalm 115 through 118. Again, I want to reinforce what seemed to come clear is there's a variety of psalms there with a variety of ways to approach God in song. So we don't know whether they sung joyfully, mournfully, or somewhere in between. But the thing is, they sang the psalms. They sang God's very own words. So 115, when I looked at it, that shows that God, that's a song that says God is alive and he's forever working and doing things on our behalf. He's thinking and caring about us. That's what Psalm 115 is. So what you do is you take what Jesus says here, that they sang a psalm, and you look at Psalm 115 and you think about that in the middle of your troubles, that Jesus possibly saying that, you know what, I'm about to die, but God is alive and he's thinking and caring about me even though I'm getting ready to go into hell itself. Or maybe it was 116 that he sang. That's prayer for being saved from certain death. I believe that's what he sung. I'm kidding. I don't know. But I'm saying that makes sense. That one, he for certain that he's headed to his death. Maybe he led them into that. Of course, the end result of that song, if you read it, is that he's trusting that God is going to deliver him. And we need to know this. And this is part of what I was going to say earlier about being 50, is I know that God's going to have to save me from certain death. The one thing I'm sure of now is I'm nothing but dying on this side of Jesus' return. I mean, in every kind of way, metaphorically, that you can say I'm literally going to die, but I just mean I'm dead. I'm realizing more than ever I have no power to do anything, no power to tie my shoes, no power to sing a song unless the Lord helps me. I don't know if you're feeling weaker as y'all. Y'all probably that are older than me and Richard, y'all can say, I could have been told you that if you'd just But the problem is when you're young, you just can't see it yet. But all we're seeing, we're hearing you now. So I want to make sure I pass that on to these youngins. But he could have been singing Psalm 117. Psalm 117 says it's praise that God loves the world and he has unlimited love for everyone everywhere. That makes sense to me that Jesus could have been singing that one, because he could have said, you know what? I'm headed into the worst suffering among the most stiff-necked, rebellious people in the world, the Jewish people. God chose them because they were the most stiff-necked, rebellious. Jesus knows his own people. He's a Jew. He knows what they're like. And he's headed into that. So maybe he's encouraged by reading God's song that says, you're doing this because it's going to save that stiff-necked people that you're so aware of, that rebellious people. Maybe he was able to strengthen himself and do what he did because he sung that song. Or there's Psalm 118, which is the last possible option they had, and that's a song of confidence about God's love. Even when your circumstances are changing, it says, but God's love and faithfulness endures forever. Maybe him and the disciples sang that. Sometimes you need that song, don't you? Because if the world is just constantly changing, is there anything, any core of security that doesn't change so that I can handle the winds of change? And the scriptures say, yes, in the Psalms you can read and encounter about this one who doesn't change when everything else is going crazy and changing all over the place. So when your children are going through changes, folks, sing a psalm of the Lord. When your marriage is going through changes, folks, look to the Psalms and sing a few of them or read the lyrics. When your job is going through changes, you can turn to God, Father, Son, and Spirit in the Psalms and sing a song and find encouragement from him. Sing a song, folks. And why the Psalms? And why sing a song? So I've given some reason already. This is what God himself in flesh sang, but I want to press that point a little bit more. Why the Psalms? Well, because simply they're God's songs that he inspired as well as sung. So, and if you think about this properly, Jesus, being both God and man in the same person, he said he knew he was discouraged and about ready to handle some tough stuff. Now, being God, he could have made up some other songs. Now, couldn't he? He's creative like we are. He could have made up some other things, but the scripture notes that he went back and sung the psalms that were written that we still have to this day. He sung one of those. So that tells me how important they are and how we may be missing their impact, potential positive impact on our life. Because when he looked at all the songs that could be sung, he lived our life now for us and with us. He's seen all that we're going through, and he said, I think I'll sing one of my father's songs. Now, see, what we're supposed to learn by that, remember, if you see Jesus detached from you, That's the only way this wouldn't make sense to you. But when you see Jesus, you're seeing what real man, what real human beings are really supposed to be like. You're seeing what a real human being really does when they're in trouble. And Jesus literally goes and sings one of his father's songs. So you want to say, like, what song should I sing? Well, he's kind of specific. You should sing some of the Psalms. You should be singing the Psalms an awful lot. Now, this is not saying you shouldn't sing other songs. But we even get direction there from Paul, the Apostle Paul, that, look, sing psalms. Isn't that the first thing he says? Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What kind of songs are filling your eardrums most weeks?